It was more than one.
It was a good time. And so there'll be another fellowship at the end of this month. We love getting together. And so you'll watch your QR code for that, and it'll be a blessing. It'll be a blessing. So I look forward to that. Hebrews chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack right in front of you. Grab one. Use your phone if you like. Hebrews chapter 12. It's good to see everybody today. I appreciate you coming out and your faithfulness. I appreciate our visitors and our regulars. Thank you. And we are in a series called Relentless Love. It's based on the book of Hosea. And I want to talk to you about something that's important that'll be a blessing to you today. Hebrews chapter 12, if you found it, please say amen.
Amen.
Read verse 14 and 15 with me, please, out loud. Here we go. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let us pray. Father, help us. We are needy people. And God, we can't do the things you've asked us to do without your help and your empowerment. And so, God, we ask for that today. And if there's one among us, God, that's not sure, if they died today, they'd go to heaven. Help us to present the truth, and may they see it for themselves in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, may it look this way. We've been studying Hosea. Hosea is an interesting book of the Bible. Just kind of recap from last week. Hosea in Hosea 1 gets married. And they end up having three children. But then she runs off into adultery. And for the better part of three or four decades, I mean, they live in the same town, mind you, okay? And so everybody knows, okay? There's no hiding this. This is going on. And you understand how people gossip and people talk. And there's this I imagine every kitchen table's had a conversation once or twice a year about Hosea and Gomer and his wife Gomer. And so they end up having three kids. She goes off into adultery. Well, probably 30, maybe 40 years later, God tells him, all right, I want you to go and bring her home. And so he goes to the slave market. And there she is, an older woman whose beauty has faded. She's coming down to the end of you know, I hate to say certain words because everybody gets all bent about it, but back in those days, if you clean house, be a servant, they would sell themselves indentured like that at the slave market. And she was coming down to the end of her usefulness for even that. And God said, you go love her again. You go love that woman. You bring that woman home. You make her your wife. And last week we talked about forgiveness. How is this possible? How could Hosea forgive? How could Hosea, how could he forgive like that? How could it not affect his soul? How could he not be bitter? Well, last week we saw how that forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not denying you were hurt, because all of us got it. All of us have hurts. We all have pasts. We've all got people who've betrayed us, and we carry this around with us like baggage, and it's not you putting it out of your mind with happy thoughts. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not an emotion you feel. Forgiveness is a command you obey. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, during the model prayer, it's a forgiveness of debt. Remember, it says in the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are debtors to us. Forgive those who trespassed against us. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
We've all memorized that prayer. Forgiveness is a releasing of the debt. It's giving it to the Lord and letting the Lord heal the pain, but also letting the Lord collect on that. And forgiveness is a command, yes, but it's also how we worship the Lord. Worship is showing God his worth. And the person who hurt you isn't worthy of your forgiveness, but the God in heaven who saved your soul, who loves you unconditionally, who forgave you of your debts, he's worthy of us obeying. Okay? So I understand this. So let me recap last week's message. Hosea, by an act of will, chose by faith to obey God, and do you appropriate the grace of God to empower him to forgive? I want you to think about that for a second. The Bible says that the best you and I can produce is garbage. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. So that means I don't have the ability to forgive like God wants me to. I don't have the ability to love people unconditionally like God wants me to. I don't have the ability to obey like he wants me to, but he does. He has that ability, and he can empower us to obey him. Do you remember this from last week? If you remember last week's message, go like this. If not, then of course you can look it up and watch it after lunch today. It'll put you to sleep again. But seriously, forgiveness is not an emotion you feel. It's a command you obey because God in heaven is worthy. Amen. And he gives you the ability, the strength to do it. Because we just don't have it. So by faith, as an act of obedience and will, Hosea forgave Gomer, brought her home. After decades of unfaithfulness, brought her home and recommitted himself to her. You're not a servant, you're not a slave, you're a wife. You're my wife, and I am your husband, and I am going to commit myself to you with nothing held back. You see, Hosea's biggest concern, his biggest problem was not the people around him, but getting bitter in his heart. That was his biggest problem. See, because Hosea, by an act of will, chose by faith to obey God and receive God's grace so he could forgive, you and I, by an act of will, make a decision by faith to obey God and receive his grace, that empowerment, so we can forgive. Forgiving is an ongoing thing. Remember, I gave you three phrases last week. Do you remember them? Don't rehearse it. What was the next one? Don't nurse it. And don't curse it. Because there's going to be times when you forgive somebody, but those thoughts come back in your mind, and you are tempted to unforgive. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right? Hey! And Philippians says, not reaching back for what is behind, but reaching forward to what God has for us. And so Hosea's greatest danger was not a broken heart, but a bitter soul. See, you're a triune being. You are made in the image of God. You are body, soul, and spirit. You're a trinity, just like God is a trinity. And see, it's 3 John verse 2 tells us that our body and our soul and our spirit affect each other. We are not a body that has a soul. You are a soul that inhabits this body. See, at physical death, our soul and our spirit leave this body, but lives on. And in heaven, you may plant this old body in the earth up there at Mount Comfort, but the soul and spirit of John Mix will live on in the presence of God. Because we are not a body with a soul. We are a soul that inhabits this body. Okay? So when the Bible speaks of death, it talks about that separation. So did you know that your soul can get sick? I guess not. Okay. I guess not. You have a spirit. All right, so you have a body. Inside your body is your soul, and inside your soul is your spirit. Your spirit is what allows you to communicate to the Holy Spirit of God, who takes up residence inside you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know that from 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God doesn't fill buildings anymore. He fills us. Amen. Okay, are you with me? Okay, stay with me now. I don't want to lose nobody behind. All right, leave nobody behind. So your spirit allows you to communicate with the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 that his spirit bears witness with our spirit. Okay, the things of God, nobody's ever seen anything like the things he's prepared for us, but he communicates them to us through his spirit. And that spirit speaks to our spirit, which is inside our soul, which is inside our body. Now, remember, the devil, he would love to take your soul to hell, because that's the only way to hurt God. Yeah. Right? Because he loved you. But once you trust Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside you. You are now sealed. You are now kept by the power. You realize you're not good enough to get to heaven by yourself. You understand that, right? You can't do that, right? You get that? You can't work your way to heaven. Titus 3:5, Ephesians 2, Romans 4:5. So God, who saves us, also keeps us. Amen. You aren't good enough to get it. How are you going to be good enough to keep it? Right? You're still a sinner just like I'm a sinner. So we are kept by the power of God. And so your soul was redeemed and your spirit was made alive at the moment you were saved. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The problem is I can't worship God and serve God and fellowship with God if my soul is sick. There are things that affect your soul. And one of them is unresolved hurts. When someone hurts us or some circumstance hurts us and we don't allow God to heal it, it's like a festering wound. And the Bible refers to it as bitterness. Have you ever had a splinter in your hand and you don't get it dug out and the skin kind of grows over the top of it? What happens? It hurts. Every time you touch it, every time you, ow, you hurt me. Was it me or was it the original hurt that wasn't resolved? So this only happens to me. Nobody else can resolve this, right? Huh? I remember when my son broke his arm and my wife's going, I think he broke his arm. He's just a little tyke. And I walked up and went, come here, hold this bottle. And he goes like this. I go, well, I guess it is broke. Come here. You know what I'm saying? He was fine until I grabbed his arm and went and tried to shake it. And he goes, ah, he was fine otherwise. You see, when we allow things to wound our soul and not resolve it with God, it festers. It infects. And just like any wound that has to be cleaned out and redressed, it isn't going to heal until we do. So just like me allowing a splinter in my finger and never really dealing with it, every time I touch something, it hurts. People will change jobs to try to get away from a hurt. People will change marriages to try to get away from a hurt. People will change friends. They'll change all kinds of things. The word bitterness in Acts talks about somebody in the gall of bitterness. See, look here in Hebrews 12 again. We just read it. He says in verse 14, follow peace with all men. Try to resolve your conflicts and forgive people. Verse 15, looking diligently, paying attention to each time we are offended, each time we get hurt, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you. Now, he goes on in verse 16 and 17 and gives you an example, which is Esau. For lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He was bitter because of an unresolved resentment against his brother and against his parents. Have you ever noticed that every time you mow your yard, the dandelions come back up? Am I the only one that has a dandelion farm in their front yard? Right? You know what I'm talking about. You mow them down, they come back. You mow them down, they come back. Why? They have a root. It's called a tap root. And it'll go down 3, 4, 5 feet, depending on how old the plant is. And you can just keep cutting the top off, but the root's there. And that's how it is with your unresolved hurts. The baggage you bring into your life. The burdens that don't get resolved with God. You go to this job and somebody offends you, so you get mad and you leave, and you go to this job and somebody else offends you and you get mad and you leave, and you go to this job and... What is the common trait here? You. Wherever you go, there you are. If you've got a problem with Jim and Joe and Bob and Sam, maybe it's not Jim, Joe, Bob, and Sam. Maybe it's you. See, the word gall is that brown, yellowish, chunky stuff that you throw up. I hate throwing up. I would rather fall down than throw up. Anybody? Anybody in here? You know what I'm talking about. Why? Because it burns your esophagus. It burns your nose. Well, all that nasty stuff that burns your throat and your nose, that's gall. And the Bible refers to our bitterness like gall. And so when we get hurt and we don't go to God and get healed, we just puke it on the next person. And when we still don't get healed, we go and we just puke it again on the next person. Your soul is sick. Like a festering wound the hurts, the resentment, the betrayals, the things that you've not let God heal. Bitterness eats away at the container. It's crazy. It's like you drink poison hoping your enemy will get sick. That really doesn't work, does it? But you hold on to it. So in verse number 15 of Hebrews 12, it says we fail of the grace of God. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It means you fail to appropriate God's grace so you can have the ability to forgive and let God collect on that debt and be free. We drag things into our life from our childhood and from our adolescence. Maybe something horrible happened to you as a child. Maybe somebody did something to you as an adolescent or as an adult. Something horrible happened to you and you're dragging this stuff into the next day of your life. And God is saying, no, listen. It's become a bitterness, a root of bitterness. And it has to be pulled out by the root. Now, Hebrews 12, 15 says any man. That means it can happen to all of us. This isn't just your mother-in-law. This isn't just your ex-wife. This isn't your parents. This is everybody has this. And then it troubles you. Look at verse 15. Root of bitterness springing up trouble you. It follows you. And it taints every part of your life. Because it becomes one of those life-altering moments where, well, this was before the breakup or after, or this was before they fired me or after. It becomes one of those life-altering, life-defining events that if it's just cleaned out and redressed, you can heal and move forward on. How could Hosea forgive Gomer? 30, 40 years of adultery. Everybody saw it. Everybody knew. How could he forgive her? How could he bring her back in? How could he? Because God told him, you're living an illustration of what the nation of Israel has done to me. And just like what you're about to do with her, I'm going to do with the entire nation. I'm going to forgive them. And I'm going to love them, and I'm going to make unconditional promises, and I'm going to restore. And that's what God wants to do for you. God wants to take away the pain of those memories, harness the power of those memories, and mold you into the image of His Son. That's what God's going to do. But to do it, sometimes you have to lance the wound. So in verse 15, it says, we fail to the grace of God. Now, I want to make sure you understand what I mean by appropriating the grace of God. I want to make sure. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, he that believeth on him, he that believes on Jesus, is not condemned. Right? You see that on the screen. But in contrast to those who believe, look at that next phrase, he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, at the moment you realize you're a sinner and can't get to heaven by being good, you take the witness stand and testify to God. God, you're right. I'm a sinner. And you sent your Son to die for me, and I believe. Forgive me. At that moment, you've just appropriated the grace of God. You've just now been given the forgiveness God promised. You have now been given a gift you could not earn. You have now received the grace of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, for by grace, us getting something we can't earn, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'm looking at the faces of people in here who know the Lord as their Savior. You've told me the day you got saved and how God saved your soul. That's your testimony. You've told me this. But now that you're saved, we still need to appropriate the grace of God, not to stay saved. We are kept by the power of God. Amen. Are you following? Are you tracking? Are you saying, okay. But to deal with the hurts and the pain and the betrayals and the missteps, you need God to empower you to forgive and to take that bitterness away, because it's going to affect every relationship in your life. See, when you think of the Ten Commandments, you know, the first four commandments deal with my vertical relationship between God and I. Amen. Right? You following with me? I've preached on this board. The last six of the ten deal with my relationships with the people around me. But the Bible says that when I'm not right with the people around me, I'm not right with God. It hinders my ability to worship God, to hear God's voice. Why? Because I'm too mad at someone else. I've let those hurts and resentments fester into bitterness. It's something we fail to receive God's grace, His empowerment, to walk with Him. Maybe it's because, maybe you wanted something and God said no. So you feel this hurt in your heart. Well, I wanted it. Maybe like a position somewhere. In number 16, Korah was bitter against Moses because he wanted to be the leader. And he ended up leading a rebellion against God and God's man and God's people and died for it. His bitterness cost him himself and his family their lives. Maybe we fail from the grace of God because we wanted something and they wouldn't let me have it. Ahab and Jezebel wanted Naboth's vineyard. And he was the king. And Naboth said, no, I can't give it to you. I can't sell it to you. It's my family's inheritance. And Jezebel had him killed from the bitterness. We fail by the grace of God to receive God's grace a lot of times because we want to be popular. We want to be liked. I mean, Joseph's brothers, remember Joseph and the coat of many colors? Joseph's brothers were envious. And that envy became bitterness. And that bitterness caused them to sell him into slavery. Broke his dad's heart. Because they had wounded souls over the fact that dad favored Joseph over everybody else. Now that wasn't Joseph's fault. That was dad's fault for being a poor father. But the bitterness still caused them to betray their own flesh and blood. Your soul is sick. Maybe you're struggling because you had something and now you've lost it. You know, I had it, but God took it away. Maybe it was your dream position, but God took it away. Maybe it was possessions. Remember Job's wife? Job's wife, she lost all her kids and all their possessions and said, Job, you ought to just curse God and die. What a sweetheart, right? How'd you like to live with her? Oh, God got her back. She ended up having to give birth 10 more times. Right? Because Job got 10 more kids back. Think about it. Saul, the first king of Israel, was jealous and envious of David's walk with God. Tried to kill him many times. God gave the kingdom to David because of Saul's bitterness. Bitterness grieves our Father in heaven because we become captive to it. And it becomes a place in our life where the devil points out this one thing and makes us focus on it. You know, Eve and Adam, when they were in the garden, they had access to everything but one thing. Guess what the devil did? He got them to focus on the one thing they didn't have. They had access to everything else. Nothing was off limits but this one thing. And that's what the devil does to you and I. You have so much more than the rest of the world. It's mind-boggling. But God, we think God is somehow cheating us because the devil focuses us on that little thing that happened to us. Well, I don't think it was little. Oh, I'm sure it hurt. I'm sure it hurt. I'm sure it hurt bad. See, Hosea's biggest struggle was not with his neighbors and their gossip. Hosea's biggest problem was not that his wife was known as a harlot. His biggest danger was becoming bitter. Remember the story of Jonah and the whale? The book of Jonah ends with a question. God asking Jonah a question. And in Jonah's bitterness, he wanted to see God kill all those people rather than forgive them. because those people had been mean to his people. So he wanted God to kill him. And God forgave those people because they asked for forgiveness. But he never used Jonah again. God went, I'm done. You go do you. I'm done. God can't use a bitter pill. He can't use a bitter spirit or bitter soul. It's infected. It's infested. It's festering. It affects you. And you've allowed it to take the precedent over your walk with God. God wants to free you from that. God wants to free you from the bitterness. He wants to free you from the pain. He wants to free you. Oh, he's not going to take the memory away, but he'll harness that pain and the power and make you into the image of Christ. Just like we receive grace to be saved, Hosea prayed and went to God and received the enabling to forgive Hosea and to recommit himself to her fully. So I ask you a question. Are you rehearsing all your hurts? Do you count your bruises instead of your blessings? Do you got a list of people that you can recite of who did this to you and when and how that they didn't do right? That's probably true. I would admit you're right. They didn't do right. And you've got this list that you carry with you like baggage through an airport. And you just drag it around all day. Of how they hurt you and they hurt you and they betrayed you. And now it is altering your life. It is defining your life. And it is affecting your walk with God. And it's affecting your marriage. It's affecting your kids. It's affecting everything. Yeah. Like a splinter in your finger that does not go clean. Every time it gets engaged, it's pain. So how do I fix this, preacher? How do I get, what's the solution? How do I get free of this? Well, number one, you need to go to God with it. You say, oh, I was expecting that. The Bible says that we need to confess it as sin. Not a weakness. Not an area where, God, I need you to strengthen me. No. God, you've told me I'm to forgive. And I've been unwilling to obey. You realize that your obstinance doesn't affect the person who hurt you. You dragging this baggage around doesn't affect them at all. It just affects you. So confess it. Go to God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us, to take it away. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess your sin. Number two, recognize your body has an effect on your soul. What is it you put in your eyes and your ears and your mouth? What goes in? It affects you. It affects you. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You want God to do a miracle in your life, but you're putting garbage in your head. You're putting garbage down your throat. Now I've hit a nerve. Now I've hit a nerve, hadn't I? Look, I love you, but the garbage people put in their mouth, their nose, their ears affects them, and you're a fool if you think it don't. All right, now listen. Your baby girl is on the operating table. Your baby girl is going to have to get cut from stem to stern, and he's going to have to put his hands on her body, and he walks in, and he smells of whatever it is you like to do. You gonna let him? You gonna let him get the bone saw out when you can smell marijuana on that guy? Oh, it don't affect me. Well, then let him cut on your baby girl. If it don't affect you, driving down the highway at high rates of speed on 95 while it's raining, don't affect you. We gonna let him cut on your baby? See, we lie to ourselves. This doesn't bother me. This doesn't affect me. If they're running heavy equipment while my children are walking to school, I have a hard time believing it don't affect you. But the point is, it affects your soul. It doesn't help you. It doesn't free you. It doesn't release you to walk with God and be healed. It keeps you in the funk of this world. And then you wonder, why can't I get free? Why can't I get free? Why can't I ever let this go? Why does the pain keep coming back? You haven't confessed it as sin. Number two, you haven't changed the what goes in. You know, your lost friends who don't know the Lord are not going to help you serve the Lord. Yep. Right? Your lost friends who don't love Jesus are not going to help you. They're just bitter. Why? Because their life's not like it ought to be, and misery loves company. Now, I'm not saying you get rid of all your friends. I'm saying, but you need to quarantine yourself with that sick soul for a little while until you get healthy and can be helpful to them rather than just be dragged down. Now, I know I'm not quoting a lot of scripture, but all my notes are up there. You can find the scriptures that talk about these things. But my brothers and sisters, I love you. And the bitterness that we drag around with us are because we have not taken our hurts to Jesus. We have not taken them to God and say, here. So let me ask you a question. Go back to Hebrews 12. It says, looking diligently, what are your eyes on? Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Have you appropriated his grace? Have you gone to God? You're right there in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews 4. Go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Look at it now. In verse 14, it says that Jesus is our high priest. He's the one who represents us to God the Father. Do you see that? Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. He is the one pleading your case. Verse 15 tells us that he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it's like to be you. Think about it. He was born into a poor man's home. He's walked a mile in your shoes. He has been tempted every way you have been. And he knows what it's like to be you. Verse 16. Therefore, let us come boldly. We can with confidence come straight to God and obtain mercy when we mess up and find grace. Number one, go to God and say, God, this hurt, I've been carrying it forever, and I want to let it go. Step one, God, it's me, and I've been carrying it, and it hurts. I admit it, God. I don't have what it takes to let it go. Number two, God, I need your grace. I need your grace, God. I want to obey you. I want to forgive. I want to lay this at your feet and let you collect on it and be healed. But God, there's a lot of folks, we call it church hurt. Anybody ever have church hurt? Yeah. You go to church somewhere and somebody hurts you? They're not supposed to, because church is supposed to be a safe place, but they hurt you. They're mean to you. They're not friendly. They forget to invite you to things. And all of a sudden, even the pastor does foolish things like forget your birthday or your anniversary. I do sometimes. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. And they're like, oh, it's no big deal. I'm like, are you sure? Because the card's in the house. I just didn't, you think about it. And whatever it is, maybe somebody forgot to say hello. I had a guy leave our church because a woman made fun of his tie. You know what she said? She said, that looked good on a real man. Isn't that wrong? And you think, at church? Yeah, she was just joking. She's just awkward. You know, she's trying to be funny and blend in. Whoo, bless her heart. Have you ever been hurt at church? A place where you're supposed to be safe, a place where you're supposed to be loved and forgiven. At home, where you're supposed to be safe, where you're supposed to be loved, where you're supposed to be forgiven, with your extended family, in a place where you're supposed to be safe, where you're supposed to be loved, and you're supposed to be forgiven, automatically you're starting to understand where I'm going with this, aren't you? Or at least where I've been. That pain follows you until you decide to take it to God and go, God, I can't carry this no more. I don't have what it takes to forgive them, God. And I have been obstinate. I've been resistant to obeying your command. Forgive me. This is who they are. this is how they hurt me, and I am choosing by faith to forgive them, but I'm asking you to heal the pain. I'm asking you to heal the pain. I need your grace. You know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be so awesome. My wife's going to forget all the stupid things I've said. All the harsh things I've said. All the ugly things I've said. When we get to heaven, you are going to be in the fullness of joy. When we get to heaven and we walk on streets of gold, we're going to be in a place where there's pleasure evermore. It's going to be so incredible. And we won't remember the pain. We won't. But until we get there, you're the one who's going to decide how far you're going to drag that baggage. Yeah. You're going to be the one who's going to decide just how long I'm going to carry it. Look, you don't have the ability to love your wife like you're supposed to, gentlemen. You need God's grace because your love's junk. Yeah. Ladies, you don't have what it takes to forgive your husband for all the foolish things he forgot. But God does, and he'll give you the grace to do it. Or you'll just carry it. And it was never God's intention for you to do so. So confess it. Ask God for the grace to forgive and to love again. And ask God to take away the pain, but to use this experience for our good and his glory. And by faith, ask him to do this, believing he will. And you're going to do it more than just once. But I promise you, the reason all things work together for good to them that love God, Romans 8:28, is because he has planned in advance he would mold you and shape you into the image of Christ, Romans 8:29. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Can't you trust God, the one who knows you, the one who walks with you, the one who's been tempted in every place like you, the one who was betrayed like you've been betrayed, the one who's been cussed and maligned like you have been, the one who has been unjustly treated like you have? Can't you trust him to understand? Can't you trust him? If you're here today and you have a sick soul, God is ready to heal you. But if you're here today, every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you're not sure heaven's your home, you're trusting in something you did, you're trusting in a ceremony or something, but you're not trusting in the shed blood of Christ, I want to encourage you today to pray and to admit to God you're a sinner and ask him to forgive you because Christ died and rose again for you. Let this be the day that your hallelujah story begins. Christian, let today be the day when freedom happens to you. Our Father and our God, we love you. And in the next few moments, God, as we prepare for baptism, we pray, Father, that you would bring up the things that are holding us back. You'd put your finger on the hurt place in our soul, Father, that you would bring it up and show us, show each person in here how they can, with your power and your grace, forgive and be healed. And Father, today I ask that that healing would come. Holy Spirit of God, touch each heart. Holy Spirit of God, comfort. Holy Spirit of God, please. We cannot do it on our own. We must have you. Help us to forgive today. Help us to believe and to trust in thee. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Brother Mike comes, Mrs. Mix is going to sing. This is what we call the invitation time of the service. This is a time for you to talk to God as she plays.
Our invitation is open. Won't you come this morning? Come, won't you? Christ speaking to you this morning. Do you need some things to let go this morning?
Oh, what amazing love. We need your cleansing flood. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. In every broken place, you are my righteousness. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. I will rise, stand redeemed, heaven open over me, to your name eternally, endless glory I will bring.
Oh, if you'll make that first step this morning, Christ will make the next one for you. Won't you come? Father, we thank you for this time of invitation. We thank you that you find us just as we are, where we are. Lord, sometimes we have broken hearts and burdens and things and obstacles that sometimes we just don't think we can overcome by ourselves, and we can't. We need you, Father, in our lives to take control and help us through these times of trial, Lord. We're thankful for those that have come today for baptism. And Lord, if there's somebody under the sound of my voice that has not known you personally, accepted you into their heart, that they will do so before they leave this place. Thank you for this time, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.